My son rung me, and actually we'd fallen asleep. So he said, "Dad, what are you doing? You sleeping? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon." Sorry, you know, things have kind of changed. You know, I thought, wait a second, what's going on here? You know, he moved home to help us, and because I hadn't been feeling that great, and it's like all of a sudden I'm the kid and he's the dad. Not only that, he said, "Listen, Dad, I just want to tell you, the cats aren't happy with you. He has two cats that have become our cats as well." I said, "What do you mean the cats aren't happy with us?" He said, "Well, they've been at your door every morning and every night." He said, "And the mama cat has been howling, like, 'Grandpa, Grandpa, open the door, let me in. Where are you?'" And I thought, that's insane, isn't it? Now I'm going to get home and the cats are going to tell me off. The world is a strange place these days. Anyway, it's been a great time being here with you guys. I've really enjoyed it, and it's nice to meet some old friends here from the Philippines. And well, not all from the Philippines, but it's nice to see you guys. And so God's good. He really is good. I can't believe it's Sunday night. And this is actually the fifth time we've shared this.
That's right,
you're the ladies. Yeah, the ladies group. You know, you can't forget that, can you? And so I appreciate my brother. I can't see him right offhand, but he came up to me and shared with me that he had been praying that God would give a word that would encourage him and help him and the people here, etc., and that it would be just what we needed. And some things that he said, and I realized as he was speaking that all the words that I have tons and tons of sermons, you know, and I asked the Lord, you know, what to share, and prayed, and I had a number come to my mind, so I wrote them down, and it kind of got narrowed down a bit. And then I didn't realize really until yesterday or today that they all kind of fit together. They kind of follow one from the other. And it dawned on me that God's giving us instruction for the days ahead. And the Lord is coming back soon. There's no question about it. I just got an update from Israel that Iran's now probably already has a weapon, nuclear weapon. And I don't know, there's maybe some things happening in the very near future that Israel's going to deal with them. But these are the days we live in. And you can't get away from it. Time is getting short. And if it's, and we're getting older. And so either way, there's my brother right there. And I really do appreciate what you shared with me, you know. So today, I want to do something tonight in closing. And it just hit me today that I need to conclude with this message that hope brings forth courage. Because if there's one thing that we need, if we need a banner, I mean, of course, our banner is Christ and the gospel message. But if there's one thing that we all need to help us, it's hope. Because if we lose hope, we lose everything. And it's important when we get together, we encourage each other and encourage our hope. So that hope becomes strong inside within us. Where's Chuck at? Wait a second, I just clicked in the old noggin here. That you said you were on your motorbike and you were listening to the service.
Yes.
Is that right? Through your. How did that happen? Oh, internet? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, there you go. I what can I say? That's pretty good. I never thought about that before. So you're on your own motorbike, buzzing down the highway, listening to the service.
Huh.
Did you clap and stand and? Bless your little heart. Well, you didn't on your motorbike and didn't even miss anything. I'm impressed, I must say. Now, I remember at one point in my life studying military strategy and The Art of War. How many people have heard of The Art of War? There's a book. And if you haven't read it, and you really should read it. Jay, you should read that book if you haven't read it. The Art of War. There's a lot of tremendous military strategies that we all would help all of us, to be quite frank. And, I looked at that many, many years ago, but it's always stayed with me. It's just a tremendous book. So one of the key strategies in winning a war is the ability to destroy the will of the enemy to resist. If you can destroy the will of the enemy to resist, or any person, if you can destroy their will to resist, then you're going to win the war. Once you do that, it doesn't matter if your military force is smaller or if it's larger than your enemies, providing you destroy his will to resist. And this is exactly today what's happening in our society. I see the Democratic left-wing progressives. And people say, well, you're getting political. No, I'm speaking truth. The Democratic left-wing progressives are linked into Marxism. And Karl Marx was a Satanist. And, that whole political thought, or whatever you want to call it, that whole thinking came from hell. And we need to call it what it is. Devilish. And so that's exactly what's happening in our society. The Democratic left-wing progressives, the Antifa domestic terrorists, left-wing media applying this strategy to our nation, to our culture, and to the rest of the free world. Not just to us right now, but to everybody. I lived in Australia for 6 years. The things going on in Australia right now are crazy. My friends over there said, what is going on? He said, I know you guys have got problems, but I think we got them as well. I said, yeah. Well, everybody has them. It's just weird. It just doesn't make any sense. Unless you understand evil, unless you understand the devil's plan for this world, then it makes a lot of sense. It's a demonic and lawless strategy designed to overthrow government, our government authority, and to establish a new world order devoid of any decent, moral, and godly laws. However, God has given us hope, and from that hope comes forth courage. And the courage is given to defeat the enemy and to overcome his plans to destroy us. This is real stuff. When I was in the U.S. Air Force, where's Bruce at? Oh, there you are, Bruce. I couldn't see you. Anyway, we were both in the Air Force. But there was a time during the Yom Kippur War. Does anybody remember the Yom Kippur War back in, 73, 74? Right around that time. Well, I was an accountant kind of a guy, finance guy in the military. But they say, Chris, we want to, I don't know why they always use me for these other things, but who knows. But they said, we want you to be part of a force, a special force we're putting together. I think it was a rapid response group. And there were 24 of us, broken into two groups. And we had to, respond whenever we could. And because they said there was going to be an attempt made on our base to steal some planes and nuclear weapons if they could get them. And so I was involved all of those types of things. And the amazing thing was that period of time, that was kind of scary. But you know what? We had hope. Because at that time, I knew that God was moving and God was working. And a lot of the guys were kind of freaked out a little bit. In fact, one of the days that I was deployed, there was a break-in in the area I was at. Somebody cut a fence and came in, and the dogs gave warning, and, it was pretty wild time. And I don't know who it was. They got away. But we stopped them from penetrating the area they wanted to get to. Kind of crazy. But I realized that God's with us. And what I was doing, I was out in this area by myself, and I was reading my Bible. You know, keep an eye on things, but reading my Bible. And it gave me hope. And it gives all of us hope. The Word brings hope to our lives. And we had guys actually went to Israel during that time. Anyway, and so God has given us hope, and from that hope comes forth the courage to defeat the enemy and overcome his plans to destroy us. The enemy wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy this nation. He wants to destroy the foundations of this nation. But I tell you, it's not going to happen. Not while we're here. Amen. Because the Spirit of God is in us. And we learned this morning that it's the Holy Spirit that's holding evil back. The apostasy is being held back because of the righteous people, because of the Spirit of God in God's people, because of the Holy Spirit within us. It's literally holding back evil because we're standing for truth. And we're standing for what's right. And we're encouraging one another. My mother was in London during the Blitz of London. She was 14 years old. There was, they leveled London, you know. But she said the people encouraged each other. She was eventually evacuated. She was 14 years old. And she, there was a bomb that was dropped, a mine, that knocked down half the house next to where she was living. And it rained that night. And the rain came down and run into the bomb. And it got rusty or something happened. And the fuse, it stopped at the timer. Now, that's incredible, because if that would have gone off, they said it would have killed her and the kids that were with her, and I wouldn't even be here. You know, God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us, and each and every one of us matter. When one considers the insanity, the chaos, the evil that's currently being displayed worldwide, then it becomes blatantly obvious that the world is becoming increasingly like Sodom and Gomorrah. Self-indulgence is what is possessing individual people right now. It's just all about me, myself, and I. What you can do for me, what you can give me. The Lord's return is closer now than ever before. And I'm declaring to you today that it's imperative that we are in right standing with God, that we are living for Him, and that we are honoring Him in the way we live. Until He returns, we stand and we believe. And we decided back in 1973, my friends and I, and a lot of us were saved then, we decided we ain't giving way to the enemy. He picks on us, he's going to pay a price. And the guys who went to Israel during that time, unofficially, by the way, they said, we're going to stand and we're going to believe. The ones that were believers anyway. Now, I came across this this picture that I don't know if you can post that. Yeah, there it is. Lovely. I'm no longer looking for the signs. I'm listening for the trumpet. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many people think that's a word in season? Let me see your hand. How many people don't care? How many people didn't respond? Don't raise your hand. No. I'm no longer looking for the signs. Rather, I'm listening for the trumpet. And that trumpet is going to be blown. And it's going to be blown in the not too distant future. And we're going to be ready. And when it's blown and we're taken up, when we get before the Lord, let me tell you, it's going to be a great time. The Bema seat of Christ, there'll be a place we'll come to and Christ will be there. It's like how would you put it? Olympics or the back in the Roman times, when they gave rewards, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to appear. Yeah. Yeah. And so Christ will be there. And so with us, it's not going to be a time of judgment for the church or for you and I. Amen. It's going to be a great time. So when the rapture happens, we're going to appear before the Bema seat of Christ. And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? He's going to give us a crown of righteousness. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm looking forward to those words. Those words are ringing in my ear. I can look back over my life and I can tell you one thing. My wife and I have been faithful. We may not be perfect, but we've been faithful. And we're going to continue to be faithful until the end. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm not looking for the signs anymore. I'm listening for the trumpet. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 53. All right, my old son, you're on.
But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies.
Amen. And when does... You know what? I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. Gosh, truth, you know, no more gaining weight, you know. And my wife says, you know, you can't have salt anymore. You can't have sugar. Oh, my God, help me, you know. But I did have one of those, what you call them, cinnamon buns. And I got around it by saying, I'll half it with you, Christy. We did have half, but my half was a little bit bigger than her half. Considerably larger. Anyway, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, don't you? I mean, that's how it is. It says, it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye. Let me give you a wonderful thing. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. So the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then those of us who are still alive shall be taken up to meet the Lord in the air, in the blink of an eye, in the one eye, in the one atomer of a second. That's pretty quick. When the last trumpet is blown. So, what do you mean, when the last, what's the blooming last trumpet? Where did all that come from? Did you ever wonder that? I mean, what do you mean last trumpet? What last trumpet? Well, if you study seven Jewish festivals, there's one called Rosh Hashanah that begins, I think it's September 25th or September 5th, I can't remember. But in September, pardon me? In the fall, yes, in September. It's different every year, you know. It'll be in September, possibly even October. But anyway, this year it's in September. And it's called the Feast of Trumpets. Now, it's really interesting because that festival, all through that period of time, they blow trumpets. And then, towards the end, they blow the last trumpet. Well, I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? In the Feast of Trumpets, they blow the last trumpet. But after that, there's about 10 days before the Feast of Atonement. Is that Atonement? No, that's the last one. It's before Tabernacles. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's 10 days from that point on. And at the end of that 10 days, there's another trumpet that's blown, and it's called a last trumpet, the great last trumpet. So, now I'm not saying, you know, but I'm just saying that there's a great, good possibility based upon the past that there may not be, but there could be a connection. And so I'm saying, okay, Lord, hey, I'm ready. You want to blow a trumpet now? Come on. But at least I know what the last trumpet is, and it's in Scripture. Is it the Feast of Atonement? Never mind. You know, this is what happens when you get older. You forget stuff all the time, you know. Anyway, bless God. So anyway, I want to speak to you on a topic called Hope Brings Forth Courage. We need courage. The person next to you needs courage. The person behind you needs courage. The person in front of you needs courage. I need courage. Pastor Keith needs courage. We all need courage. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And the way that comes is from hope. And so we need to stir up hope in our midst. And I'm hoping that during this period of time, hope is coming into you, that things are, you're being stirred, that you're becoming more hopeful about the future, that God really is with us. He's for us, that he's going to do something in our hearts, in our lives, that the Lord really loves you, that he really cares for you. And he has good things for you for the future. In Job chapter 11, verse 18 through 20, we read these words. Having hope will give you... Let me try that one more time. Okay, it's up there. Having hope will give you...
courage.
Oh, we need that courage. Having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and will rest in safety. You will lie down unafraid, and many will look to you for help. Many will look to you for help. People will be looking for folks who have hope. But the wicked will be blinded. But the wicked will be blinded. They will have no escape. Their only hope is death. But for the believer, the true believer, not the fake believer, the true believer, his hope is courage. Courage to face the things that are coming our way and not to bow and give in. See, you know, the enemy has a plan. You know, through this whole COVID thing, what I saw was fear. And not in just our country, but all over the world, they were trying to use fear to bring people into submission, to make them afraid, to take away their hope. No hope, no courage. But all of a sudden, something began to happen all over the world as well. Especially in America, people began to have hope. They began to hear the word of God. They began to hear the voice of God. And they began to rise up with hope. And they began to believe. And they began to have courage. And things changed. Well, the enemy's not done yet. He ain't done yet. But God has a plan in all this, that our hope will get stronger and stronger and stronger, and that our courage will increase and increase and increase. Remember this morning I shared about the angels that I saw. The Lord said to me, behold, he said, I have dispatched my angel, and my angels have gone forth to protect my people and to make provision. Don't ever forget that. God has sent forth his angels to protect you and to make sure you have provision. Why? Because God wants us to have hope.
Amen.
He wants you to have hope.
Amen.
He wants you to be courageous. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a bunch of crying babies. It's not a bunch of defeated... not a bunch of defeated people. Amen. Pansies is what we call them in England. Ain't a bunch of defeated pansies. It's people who know their God and they put their trust in him and they stand. And having done all, they stand. I come from a line of people in my family who were courageous people. My grandfather was in World War I in the Battle of Somme. His friend, Germans dropped gas, and his friend got wounded. And he cared about his friend. And they said, you've got to get your gas mask on. But his friend was really in trouble. So he put his gas mask on to save his life. And by the time he got his on, he had inhaled some of the gas. And it destroyed half his lungs for the rest of his life. And I still remember him saying, he says, Chris, sometimes you got to do what you got to do because it's right. And he said, you're part of this family. You make sure you take the standard, you take this flag and you put it on higher ground. The only thing is now, if we're living for God, we're going to take that banner and we're going to let it fly for all to see. Like the banner on the Star Spangled Banner. I don't know if you've ever seen the thing when the British ships came in and they started bombarding the fort. and there was a flag, and they tried to knock it down. And when afterwards they found that there was a bunch of people all died. They kept that flag flying. They said no, and it cost them their lives. And they held it up, and they held it up, and they held up. That's what America was established and founded upon. Courage. Hope. And when people saw the flag still flying, it brought hope into their lives. You and I need to be those kinds of people that bring hope into people's lives. Doesn't matter if you live in Shelton or not. Because to God, everywhere matters. In fact, this is really a nice area. People, most of the people may have been very welcoming, very nice. Not just in the church, but outside the church. Maybe that's a reflection of what of some of the relationships you guys have had. See, this scripture is an incredible scripture. Having hope will give you courage. It states that if you have hope, then that hope will give you courage. No wonder the enemy battles us so fervently, utilizing every strategy of hell to rob us of our hope. Why? Because he knows that if he can rob us of our hope, then he can also rob us of our courage. And when you lose your courage, you lose everything. Once we lose our courage, then we will kneel and bow down to the prince of darkness, to evil, to death, to destruction, and to the plans the evil one has for each one of us. The plans that he has for our families, for our nation, and for the world. Sadly, isn't that exactly what many of those who hold political positions in our government, those who are part of the legal judicial system, and even those who are everyday people have done recently?
Yes.
All that does is empower evil and fear and a one world order. It can't happen until we go. Because I believe there's enough godly people today that God is raising up, and he's using this time to stir us up, to cause us to be people of courage, people of hope, who will stand against evil. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The correct translation is what? Congregation. And on this rock I will build my congregation, my people. And the gates or the strategies of Hades or of hell shall not prevail against it. Every strategy of hell will not prevail against God's people or against his congregation. Who's part of God's congregation here? Let me see your hand. Come on, if you're part of that congregation, put your hand up. If you're not, don't put it up. I think it's a privilege to me to be part of that. I'm part of God's congregation. And the gates and the strategies of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the actual translation is this. Whatsoever, what things are released in heaven, you can release on the earth. Healing, wholeness, hope, salvation. And whatsoever things are bound in heaven, we can bind on earth. Evil, hatred, unforgiveness, every demonic strategy that's being used against us. We have the right, we have the power, we have God-given authority to break the power of those things over our lives and over the lives of others. The word prevail literally means to conquer, to overcome, or to overpower. What did we read a few seconds ago? I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not overcome it. The gates of hell shall not conquer it. The gates of hell shall not overpower it. That's what God says. So when we stand, I want to tell you that God sends his angels to stand with us and help us. We don't have to bow our knee ever to evil. In this scripture, God has given the body of Christ all the authority and all the power necessary to overcome and to conquer the enemy's prescribed fear and oppressive power. His power is oppressive. His power brings chaos. His power brings disunity. His power brings hopelessness. We're not part of that. We're part of God's kingdom. And just the opposite takes place. This means that the prince of darkness can no longer prevail against us. He can no longer conquer us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Today we have a hope that releases to each of us God's overcoming courage. However, it's important that we persevere and not give up or give in, because the final victory will be ours. No matter how hard the going gets, just keep on keeping on, because in the end we win. Chapter 37, verse 34. Put your hope in the what? Put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in His Word. Travel steadily along His path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. Now, I don't know about you, that encourages me. I want to see the wicked destroyed. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about demonic authority, demonic control, demonic powers that have their hands on people, that have brought them and made them slaves. You know, people talk about slavery. And by the way, I want to tell you, America was one of the first nations, joined with England, in defeating slavery. And I'll tell you something else. When I was in Africa, amen, there was one tribe that would conquer other tribes, and they would sell the people they didn't want to keep. They would sell them. They'd tie them to this tree called the slave tree in Ndola. I was there. Right, so I know what I'm talking about. And then all the Arabs would buy these slaves, and they would take them down to the Ivory Coast, and they would sell them. And if they were lucky, they got sold to Americans. Now, was that right? No, but that slavery kind of existed for everybody. Was it right? No. But I want to tell you that in the Civil War, people rose up and said, "This is wrong. It needs to be put right." I don't know why this is not taught in schools, but they sent people to Africa where most of the slaves came from, and it was along the Ivory Coast. And the United States, did I share this yet? And they procured an area of land along the Ivory Coast, and they named it Liberia, which means liberty. And then they gave the right for all black Africans, all the African people who were taken into slavery, if they wanted to go back, they gave them free passage back to Africa. And where they went to in Africa, where they docked, the port that they made for docking became the capital city of Liberia, and it was named after President Monroe, and the capital city was known as Monrovia. Isn't that interesting? And then the British and the Americans joined together patrolling the Ivory Coast, and if they found slave ships, they boarded them and they set the slaves free. And one of those people involved with that was the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, who was involved with the slave industry, so to speak, and got saved, and that's where you get the song Amazing Grace from. Amazing Grace. Now that brings hope. And so slavery was abolished. But let's just think about this for a few minutes. But slavery still exists. What about the people on drugs? I was speaking to one brother today. He said he used to be on, what was that stuff? Meth or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, how many people are on drugs? How many people become a slave to drugs and it rules their life and kills them? How many people have become a slave to pornography and sexual perversion? How many people have been taken captive and made slaves by all of those things? Not only that, what about greed? But Jesus came and shed his blood and paid the price of our sin to set us free from the slave trade industry, from the devil, where all this came from, and from the powers of darkness. Today, slavery still exists, and it needs to be dealt with. The violence. Who gives people the right to go and smash windows and burn down buildings and rob people's businesses who've worked hard to be a blessing to their community? Who does that? Evil does that. And the people involved in it have been taken captive. What they need to do is get saved. The final victory is ours. That's what matters today. The final victory that we come into is yours and it's mine. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path and he will honor you by giving you the land, and you will see the wicked destroyed. You will see the powers of hell destroyed. You will see that oppression destroyed. You will see those addictions in people's lives destroyed and those people set free. The word hope means this: expectation, confidence, faith, trust, conviction, optimism, or assurance. Hope is holding on to the confident expectation of what God has promised, and that the empowering strength of hope is found in the faithfulness of God towards each of us. Isn't that powerful? The empowering strength of hope is found in what? The faithfulness of God towards you, to the person next to you, behind you, in front of you, and to you yourself. The important thing to remember about hope is that God in his faithfulness will never give up on us. He will never give up on you. He will never give up on that person next to you. He will never give up, because his faith is persistent. So we should never give up on his promises, nor should we give up in the deceptions of the enemy. Excuse me. Neither should we give in to the deceptions of the enemy. Hello. Don't give in to the deceptions. Don't believe the lie. And he speaks to us in our minds. Now, you're not good enough. Look at you. Take a look in the mirror. Look at you, you loser. That don't come from God. Even if we have a bunch of losers, the Lord says, yeah, that's true, but it can only get better from here on out. God has hope for you. He has hope for me. He has hope for us. And that hope gives us courage. In the tribulation, God will use his judgments that will come upon the earth to open the eyes of the Jewish people and to remove their veil of blindness, so they might recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah and receive him as their Savior. I've shared that a number of times since I've been here. And I do that purposely, because a lot of people don't believe that. They have no idea. They're unaware a lot of this nonsense comes from in people's minds. But anyway, the tribulation period is designed as a final harvest of the souls of men and women, and most especially the Jewish people. These are the days when wickedness and violence, deception and chaos and immorality and ungodliness will reach new depths in deceiving and entrapping many. And you can already see it manifesting itself now all over. Therefore, now is the time when we need to stand up, that we need to deal with deception and deal with the sinful nature and obey the word of God and continue to do what is right and moral in our everyday lives. Amen. You know, Jay, you were real encouraging me the other day when you said, you know, my family were having a barbecue. I think you said a barbecue. He said, my wife and I decided we're going to come here. I felt encouraged with that. there's other people who have said some things to me since I've been here. Man, I feel encouraged. I'll be back next week. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24, we read these words.
Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy.
Amen. Well done. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Well, that brings hope to you and it brings hope to the rest of us as well. Let's take a look at Titus chapter 2, verse 12 through 14.
And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed, doing good deeds.
Amen. Well done. Thank you. What great scriptures. What is he saying? He's saying, look, get rid of these things. Don't be held captive anymore. Don't be a slave to these things anymore. Be free. Enter into the fullness of life I've got for you and the fullness of hope that I've got for you. You don't have to be bound by those things, but you have to make the decision. Turn from godless living. Turn from sinful pleasures. Turn from evil. Do what's right. Why? Because it'll help you. It'll bless you. It'll encourage you. And it says what? He gave his life, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, gave his life to free us from every kind of sin and to cleanse us. Every kind of sin and to cleanse us and to make us his own people. Totally committed to doing good deeds. What a good God we serve. Amen. What a good God. There was a man called Louis Giglio. Anybody ever hear of this boy?
Yeah.
Have you? I never did. Never heard of the guy. So who the heck is Louis Giglio? Or Giglio or whatever his name was. Is it right? Giglio? How did you guys hear about him? Is he from Shelton or what? Anyway. Louis Giglio once said, the enemy's plan is to bury you. He wants to bury your dreams, bury your purpose, bury your hope, bury your future, bury your marriage, bury your kids, bury it all. Sounds like a former president, actually. Anyway, he is going to put a thought in your mind that is contrary to God's best for your life. However, God wants you to live in victory. Victory is not circumstantial. Victory is not about what is happening around you. Victory is about the state of your mind. The state of your mind. The enemy knows this, so his focus in your life is to attack your thought life. This guy's a smart dude. If he can win the battle of your mind, then he has won the battle of your life. Do not let the enemy win today. You do not need circumstances to change or situations to improve. Isn't that amazing? You do not need circumstances to change or situations to improve. You can step into victory right now by inviting God into your situation and asking him to help. Asking him to help you change the way you think. God help us. God deliver us. Ooh, man, I could feel that young. God's for us. Man, some chains fall off. And amen. God sets his people free. and were more full of joy than ever before. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5.
For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive of every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Amen. See, so there has to be an activation in our own lives. We have to activate ourselves. We have to take this and practice it. You know, I want to share this with you. I believe we have entered into a time where the presence of God... Look, evil is increasing. Would you agree with that? It's being manifest now more than ever in our midst, in our nation, and in the nations of the world. I've never seen it like this. But if that is true, that tells me that the kingdom of God is manifesting as well. Amen. Now, people may not see that, but it doesn't mean to say it's not happening. But I am going to tell you, it is happening. And one of the ways that's happening is, and the Lord really spoke to me, dealt with me about this recently. He said, when you speak, know, when you're speaking my word, you're releasing my power and my presence and the ministry of my spirit. And I'm going to set people free. I'm going to heal people. I'm going to break their chains. I'm going to deliver their minds. I'm going to deliver their hearts. I'm going to do a work deep down inside of them. Pain will go from their bodies. Broken parts will be fixed. Some parts will be replaced. Because I'm going to do that. I am going to do that. You can't do it, but I will do it. And this morning, I deliberately shared how many people have been healed. Because I used to do healing crusades all over the world. We had tremendous things happen. Blind eyes open, people get out of wheelchairs and walk. But it's a different season. Now God's doing something. When we come together, when we meet together. And when you join up together, when you have this understanding, when you start thinking that way, you're going to start experiencing it. I release it in Jesus' name. I rebuke sickness and disease and pain. And I release the healing power of the living God. I break the power of oppression in Jesus' name. Every thought that would bind an individual, I break its hold over them. Every strategy of hell that would try to destroy and demolish, I bring it down now in Jesus' name. Why? Because I have the authority God gave me. You have the authority. Whatsoever things are bound in heaven, we can bind on the earth. Whatsoever things are released in heaven, we can release on the earth. And we release healing and wholeness and salvation. Yes. So I got a little carried away. What do you do? I'm an Englishman. That's what happens. Did we read Hebrews 10:23 yet? All right, my old son, you're on.
Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of the ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works.
Amen. What a great word, isn't it? Let us hold tightly without wavering. Without wavering. Hold tightly without wavering. Tightly. To the hope we affirm. I'm not giving in. I don't care what you say. I don't care what I can say. I believe God. I believe His word. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Come on now. Let us what? Think of ways to motivate one another. Have you done any thinking about how you can encourage people around about you? How you can motivate them? Lord, what can I do? How can I help that person? Interesting, huh? Oh, I tell you, we're a new people. We're a special people. We're God's people. Franklin Graham wrote these words. It's called The Sad Truth. Time, he said, is like a river. You cannot touch the water twice because the flow that has passed will never pass again. Franklin Graham was speaking at the First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, when he said America will not come back. Contrary to all the prophecies. He wrote, "The American dream ended on November 6, 2012. The second term of Barack Obama was the final nail in the coffin for the legacy of the white Christian males who discovered, explored, pioneered, settled, and developed the greatest republic in the history of mankind. A coalition of blacks, Latinos, feminists, gays, government workers, union members, environmental extremists, the media, Hollywood, uninformed young people, the forever needy, the chronically unemployed, illegal aliens, and other fellow travelers have ended Norman Rockwell's America. You will never again outvote these people. It will take individual acts of defiance and massive displays of civil disobedience to get back the rights we have allowed them to take away. It will take zealots and not moderates or rhinos." You know, I remember watching these, some of the Democrats and politicians and some of the Republicans. As I looked at them, one was called Democrat, one blue, and one was called Republican, red. But you know what? They were the same person. Different veneer on the outside, but on the inside, they were the same. "It will take zealots and not moderates or rhinos to right this ship and restore our beloved country to its former status. People like me are completely politically irrelevant, and I will probably never again be able to legally comment on or concern myself with the aforementioned coalition which has surrendered our culture, our heritage, and our traditions without a shot being fired. The Cocker Spaniel is off the front porch. The pit bull is in the backyard. The American Constitution has been replaced with Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And the likes of Chicago shyster David Axelrod, along with international socialist George Soros, have been pulling the strings on the beige puppet and have brought us Act Two of the New World Order. The curtain will come down, but the damage has been done. The story has been told. Those who come after us will once again have to risk their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to bring back the republic that this generation has timidly frittered away due to white guilt and political correctness." That's pretty powerful words. But I want to just add to this. All of these things are happening because of the times we're living in. But we need to embrace hope. And from that hope, we need to be courageous because Jesus is coming back soon. I don't think Trump will get reelected. Maybe he will. I don't. You never know. Anything can happen. But I think the time is later than we think. And when, you know, the Bible says that this evil will spread across the world and everything will be set up for the New World Order, for the Antichrist to come in. And right now, the Holy Ghost is still holding back evil, but it's intensifying. It is intensifying, and it's going to intensify more, and it's going to become more anti-Christian. Stand and believe. Don't be afraid. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen?
Amen.
God loves you. He loves the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. He loves your pastor. He loves me. He loves each of us. That's good to know. Amen. We need to hear that. He loves my wife. Of which I am a blessed man to have such a great wife as she is. I am. She's selfless. I've never known a woman to be so loving and caring and self-sacrificing. That's the truth. I'm not just saying that to get some brownie points. Yeah. That's the truth. No, I'm not saying it's from Bible. I'm saying it because it's real. She knows this. Amen. What a good God we serve. What a great time to be alive. How many people have hope tonight? How many people you feel like your hope is increasing? Then your courage is going to increase as well. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Why? Because you have hope. And you're in a place, by the way, here in Shelton, where there is hope. Not a you don't find this many places anymore. But you're living in one. Great musicians. Amen. People who love the Lord. Who aren't afraid to sacrifice. Who aren't afraid to lay their lives down for what's right. And it's been a privilege for my wife and I to be here with you. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the privilege of being here. My wife and I thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for the opportunity to be with such a great bunch of folks who are full of life and full of hope and full of faith and full of courage. Lord, I speak blessing on every individual. I speak blessing on them. I ask that you will keep them. You will cause your face to shine upon them. You'll be gracious to every individual that's here. That you will lift your countenance to every individual and give them shalom. That unusual, everlasting peace. And I ask, Lord, that no good thing will be withheld from any of these individuals here. That you will put your name upon them and you will bless them. In Jesus' name I ask these things. And Lord, that we would receive your blessing in Jesus' name. And Lord, that your blessing would fill our hearts and our lives, our homes, our children, our family. And it would flow through us and flow out to those round about us, that they too might be encouraged and even rescued from this insane world. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's any person here who's never received Jesus as their Savior. You don't know if you're going to heaven or not. You know, the Bible says you're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you're here and you're saying, you know what? What can I do to come into the kingdom of God? How can I be saved? How can my sins be taken away? How can death be taken away? How can I be released from the slavery of this life that I'm experiencing right now? You do it by receiving Christ as your Savior. I wonder if there's anybody here who wants to make heaven their eternal home tonight, who's never done that. And if that's you, or you're backslidden, you're not right with God, I want to give you an opportunity. I will always do this. That you would lift your hand up and hold it above your head just for a few minutes. And say, Pastor Chris, please pray for me. I'm not right and I'm going to admit it according to your word. And I want you to help me and forgive me and change me. If anyone's here, lift your hand up and hold it above your head in Jesus' name. Anybody at all. Anyone at all right? And of course, we're always here. You could always come up later on and we'll still pray with you. But I wonder how many people here, you've received God's word. You know, God spoke to you. He's helped you. He stirred you up. And if that's you, we ask that the Lord will take these things and seal them into your heart and seal them into your life. And if that's you, slip your hand and hold it above your head just for a few minutes. Say, amen, that's me, Pastor Chris. Seal these things, Lord, to my heart. Seal them to my life. I receive your word. And you're like, amen. Thank you for all these hands. You can put them down. We serve a good, good God. While our heads are still bowed, I wonder if anybody has been healed tonight. While we're speaking, God touched your body. He touched you and he healed you or freed you or set you free or broke the power of oppression or did something. Or maybe there was pain and it's gone. Is there anyone at all that happened to tonight? Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Right, and that's going to continue. And you're such a good lady. God bless you. I speak blessing on you. Amen. You can look up. God is good. What did the Lord heal you from?
Just aching all over, and I have a lot of back pain, and I don't have anything right now.
The back pain's gone, or the aches and pains have gone in your whole body? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're a great bunch of people, and I encourage you to look after each other. You know, look after each other. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. And let hope, your hope be intensified, that your courage will overflow. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for having my wife here. Thank you for making us feel so welcome and so loved. And the encouraging words you've given us, we really, really appreciate it. We speak God's. You're a great congregation of people, and we appreciate you and your pastor and his wife there. What a blessing to spend some time with you. And Bruce, amen.
Goose.
The goose?
Goose.
Yeah, Bruce.
B-W.
Amen.
Goose.
Amen. Bless you.
Don't go anywhere, brother. We're going to have Christine come on up, and we want to pray over you guys. Thank you for coming and being our guest.
I'm wondering, what is their new church they're starting? What's the name of their church?
Do you have a name for your new work?
I think, I don't know. I think we just keep it for the time being as times of refreshing. Refreshing. Huh?
My son want to have a different name to make it.
Okay, hold on.
More.
Oh, I don't have. No, they can't.
You know, my son is 30 years old. He said, our church name is so long. It's hard to remember. It's hard for people to remember
it.
Speaking
to the mic.
Huh? Speaking to the mic. I'm speaking to the mic. Sorry. Anyway, he said, can we make it, can we add, like, you know, just maybe one word underneath that times of refreshing, actually named times of refreshing, from Acts 3:19. So, yeah. Put something underneath that is not—it's easy for people to remember.
Yeah. So we'll see.
For now, it's times of refreshing.
It's times of refreshing right now.
Refreshing church, right?
Refreshing church.
Be refreshed.
So, anybody that'd like to get in on this, come on up. We're gonna just surround them. We're gonna invoke the Lord's divine blessing over them. Thank you for your goodness tonight, Lord. Thank you that you are with us. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, we thank you for this couple, for blessing us with them, Lord, part of our family. God, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. If somebody wants to lead out, go ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you for sending Chris and his beautiful wife, Lord. Amen. God, we ask you to just continue to pour out blessings upon them, Lord God. Open the windows of heaven and just pour them out everywhere that they put their feet. Let it just be blessing and more blessing, and draw all men to them so that they may hear the word of God, that they speak the truth of the gospel in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just rain down, Holy Spirit. Rain down on all of us here.
Amen.
Travel safety.
Hallelujah.
We pray that you just surround them, Lord Jesus, with a hedge of protection.
Amen.
And around their new church. We pray that those that they teach and those who they preach to will rise up, and they will turn around and teach and preach our next generation.
Amen.
Hopefully it will be a generation of children who love the Lord to distraction, who praise his holy name forever.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
To move forward, His favor and His light is shining upon you. Wherever you go, you are blessed and will be blessed. Always follow the Lord, and He will make great your church, and it will be a magnificent church in the glory of God, and He will always be with you. Move forward with Him. Move forward.
Aliyah, Aliyah.
Amen. We receive it. Thank
you, Father God. Your journey's not at an end yet.
Amen.
No retirement for you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we ask you to release your healing power, Lord, to heal his body, to heal his heart, to set everything in order in his biological body, Lord, and Christine, keep them healthy, keep them strong, keep them centered in your will. Father, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be accomplished in the days to come, Lord. And so as our day, so our strength will be in measure. Or Lord, this is the promises you've given to us. Lord God, you have given to all of us, Lord, all that we have need of, all that pertains to life and godliness. And we thank you for your promise, Lord, that according to your will, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Strengthen them both, Lord God, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Strengthen them with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Father, let there be a new just a refreshing to come upon them, Lord God, hallelujah, that they can carry, hallelujah, Lord God, and go forward, yes, in the new work, in the new day, the new dawn, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. It usually is darkest before dawn, Lord, but we need to know, Lord, because of the darkness is a promise that there's going to be a new day, hallelujah, and a new dawning coming. Thank you, Lord God, for America. We lift up our nation tonight, Father God. We pray, hallelujah, your kingdom to come and will to be done in America. Father, we pray, wake up in the American people, Lord God. Lord, we pray, revive your church in America, Lord. Bring your church back to full flame, Lord God. Bring your people back to you, God. Draw this nation back to you again, Lord God. We pray that you set our hearts on fire. Strengthen all of us, oh God, by your Spirit. In the inner man, by your Spirit, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. Open our eyes to the opportunities that you set before us, Lord. May we be found faithful. May we be found steady to the end. That we may rejoice together, Lord, as we cast our crowns before your feet and say, worthy are you, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and blessing and power. For you have overcome. And you are worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. We pray your shalom, yes, to rest upon each one of us, Lord. Surround us, guard us, keep us, Lord. Close to you, hallelujah. And make us a blessing, Lord God, that out of our lives you will shine, hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for those words. They were right on the very...